And welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in absolutely glorious Clearwater, Florida, where it never seems to get below 90 degrees. Whatever's up there, we need some cold weather. We need a little bit of fall weather. But I am so happy in the studio today. I have with me, I've got four people at the moment, but it might grow, and they are from the wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful writers group, Newport Richey Library Writers Group. And I have their leader here, and she's going to talk first, and then we'll go around and talk to everybody about their books. This is always so exciting to have people in the studio because I love to see the enthusiasm. And let's start first. We have Catherine Long. She is the organizer and an author herself. And then we're going to have Randy Shands and Tina Forsier. And, of course, Andrea Hiotis, because I want to, when I get to Andrea, I just tell you, I have many, many books from famous authors who have autographed books for me. But I love Andrea's book. It is just so adorable, and I will treasure it forever because it is exactly the kind of thing I tell people that they need to do. So I'm looking forward to talking to Andrea. But let's start first with Catherine.
Hi, Patsy. It's nice to see you. I'm very excited to be here. And what we wanted to talk about to start with today is the author's meet and greet event that we're having on Saturday, November 3rd. It'll be from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the afternoon at the Newport Richey Library at 5939 Main Street in Newport Richey. It's on the second floor in the big meeting room, so if anybody would, any of your listeners would like to attend, we'd love to have them. The event is free and open to the public. We are planning to have 15 authors of various genres there. All of us will be there, and there will be several more, and everybody will have their material for sale. There will be giveaways and refreshments available. So it's going to be a great event, and we're looking forward to it. I hope you come by.
Well, I will. I've already got it on my calendar because, one, I love Newport Richey, and it's such a beautiful place, wonderful place to visit. And the wonderful thing about your group is you are also enthusiastic, and you have over 40 members, I think, now and growing.
Yes.
And I so believe in writers' groups because it is a way to not only make friends, but to get that encouragement that you need to continue writing. And November is coming up, and it's National Novel Writing Month. I don't know if any of you have participated in it, but I know my goddaughter has, and she was so proud of herself the first time, and she did it a second time, that she finished, and she wrote a novel in 1 month. And it is so important that, as I said in the beginning, this show is for writers and those who dream of writing. But you don't have to just be a dreamer. You can actually do it, right?
Yes. We have had many people who were on their very first work come and join our group, and they were able to complete their first novel and have gone on to write more. And many of them are published. And so the group everyone that gives us feedback tells us that the group has been very influential in helping them to learn how to write better, how to stay focused, and how to complete things and move on to the next thing. And not only that, they've also learned how to critique other people's writings, because we do a critique with each meeting that we have every Monday. We meet on Monday at the library from 4:30 to around 7:30 in the evening. So everyone reads a little bit, and we critique it and go around the table and talk about it, and then we go on to the next person. So it's a wonderful time of sharing, and we've all learned so much and grown tremendously. Each person has grown in their writing abilities from being part of our group. So it's an exciting thing.
It is. And so now we're going to talk to one of the writers. I have just finished his book, and I will say he has a very, very special mind. His name is Randy Shands. And Randy, you have to tell us about this book. It's called The Care and Feeding of Nightmares. a very interesting cover. And as I was mentioning, I was just captured as I'm reading your stories. I'm thinking, this guy is one. He's got something going up there in his mind. It's so nice to welcome you to the program, Randy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for having us on.
Okay, so tell us about this Care and Feeding of Nightmares.
Okay, Care and Feeding of Nightmares is my most recent solo book. It's a collection of short stories. Most of them are science fiction, although one or two of them are kind of weird fantasy. By weird, I don't mean like disturbing hypersexual stuff or anything like that. I just mean, you know, kind of odd things that you wouldn't really expect. Like, you know, a sort of bureaucratic devil, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit odd. Interesting Private Eye, for example. I love that story. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Whoa, so how did you come to writing?
I decided when I was in, probably a senior in high school, that I could do it better than the other people in my English class, and I was kind of wrong about that. And then in college, I decided that, you know, I fell in with a pretentious crowd, and they were all continually talking about writing and doing stuff, and again, I figured I could do it, and again, I was wrong, and then I just kind of kept hacking away at it, and I really would say that between 1985 when I was a senior and about 2006 I didn't write anything that was any good whatsoever, and then around 2006 the scales fell away from my eyes and suddenly I could do it,
and that's what happens. But it's always interesting that the path to becoming a successful writer, to be happy with the books that you finally come out with, it's an interesting journey because you learn so much along the way. You might have 20 other jobs in between, mm-hmm. but then one day it just sort of all gels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly like that. You know, I said the scales fell away from my eyes, and it was really kind of like a transformative experience. It was like Paul on the way to Damascus. I just, one day I couldn't do it, and the next day I could. I know, because I had been trying to do it the day before, and it was just garbage. And then the next day I'm like, wow, this is suddenly, wow, this makes sense. It's coherent. People would actually want to read this. I can't believe it. And it only took 21 years to get there.
Oh, well, you never know how the path is can be very crooked sometimes, but all of those byways, you pick up things, and you certainly got some ideas. you picked up some strange ideas, as I was saying, with the story that I found particularly amusing, an unguarded moment. You have a new look at time. I love time travel books. It's one of my favorite sort of genres. I will always gravitate to a time travel book. And so when I got to yours, I thought, okay, you know, it's not going to, all the time travelers are not going to be here for scientific reasons. They're not, you know, like, they're not going to the universities to look at the quantum physics ideas and try to help us along to understand the science better.
No, they just want to go to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, exactly. Mardi Gras and theme parks.
They like theme parks.
Yeah, your time travelers have a great propensity for theme parks.
Well, I'm a native Floridian, so.
So you're bored with that. So yeah, okay. Well, I think you put a new spin on it, so much so that now every time I go to a theme park, I'm going to be looking around, okay, where are the time travelers here? I'm going to walk up to somebody and say, are you a time traveler? You look like... When a writer is able to do that, to so impress a reader with an idea, I mean, it's stamped in my brain forever.
Well, it's always been my opinion that whenever you see some new technological development come along, it always immediately gets co-opted by the lowest common denominator, you know? I mean, we have television in 1948, which is this huge, amazing, incredible step forward, and you could do all these wonderful things for it, but instead you get Queen for a day, you know, or the Kardashians, which, you know, or that kind of thing. So I thought, what if lowbrow people are coming back in time for entirely selfish or entertaining reasons?
And it's certainly entertaining, and your stories certainly are entertaining.
Thank you.
So now, you know, as I said, I just love when an author finds that enthusiasm and comes out with their first book. It's always so exciting. So I want to talk now to Tina Forcier. Forcier. And again, your new book, first book, Return to Sender, is a love story, and it's really cute.
Oh, thank you. Very nice to be here. Very nice to meet you. And yes, it's a love story, a sweet contemporary fiction. And it's how Molly Baker, she has her 15-year high school reunion that sneaks up on her, and before finding a hubby and earning a college degree. So now she tries to accomplish all this in just 99 days. She counts up the days on her calendar right at the beginning of the novel, her and her friend, and it's like, I have 99 days to figure out how to find a hubby and earn a college degree. So she ends up finding maybe a fiancé along the way.
Well, what I love, it starts with that envelope that so many people get.
Yes.
It's time for a reunion. Now, it's funny. I never got that envelope because I took off so fast. I didn't want to ever look back at my high school years. I thought, oh, forget those things. I don't ever want to see any of you people again. And so I took off so fast and traveled all over the world. So although they might have sent me those envelopes, they never reached me. And I figure now, I don't know, it's a little late. Although I probably, if I went back, I might be one of the more famous of the ones, so I don't have to worry anymore. But I think so many people will relate to that. The minute they pick that book up and they read the first page and they say, oh, I know that moment. And to find out, to follow sort of this whole story, what is going to happen. And that you have so many, it's very cute. That's a word when a story just sort of tickles you. And I like all your characters, and I like all the little things that you bring into it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we were saying about the relatable thing. She gets this envelope in the mail, and it's just like you say that she's in shock. But how they find her is just through random. She just gets it in the mail, and but she had made a pact with her friends 15 years ago to attend this reunion, so... maybe that's how they found her in the long run, because these certain group of friends, Cindy, and you got Stacy, Jennifer, Bill, and they're all going to be meeting up for this reunion. So yes.
And then you go from there. So how had you written before?
This is my first novel. I have two more now that are in print also. Titled Merry Xmas, and the third one is titled Wedding Season, Save the Date.
So you joined the library writers group, and
yes.
You found a home there, huh?
Yeah, it's a very, I guess you say, relatable group. I feel comfortable when I'm in there, and we all, like you said, read around the table, give critiques. I learn from even just hearing other writers read. I learn by critiquing them. I learn different things that you learn how to write better, just being there, even just doing things yourself.
So. Well, it's amazing. Authors are really very helpful to each other. Sometimes people say, oh, they're competitive. And I sometimes meet new writers and they're afraid to join a group. They think, oh, somebody will laugh at me, or somebody will, you know, think I'm not as good as they are. But it's not true. Writers are very welcoming, and they always want to help. Mm-hmm. So when now, Return to Sender, did it go through the critique there, or was that before? You wrote it before?
Nope. Actually, the very first read, I took in a scene. It wasn't actually the very beginning of the novel. It was actually chapter 2 of the novel, and I took that into the group, and I remember sitting and reading that very first. I think it was handwritten, even. And I took it in there, and I remember, you know, being nervous and wondering what was going to, you know, happen, how they were going to react, you know, to my writing. And it was a very good feeling. Very first meeting, I felt I was going to stay, and I've been there for years.
And that's always so wonderful to be able to find a place where you fit in, mm-hmm. and a group of people that you become friends with. And as Mary Higgins Clark tells me all the time, that she belongs to a Tuesday evening writing group that she's belonged to for years, 30, 40, maybe almost 50 years now. And they meet all, you know, over the years. And it is so wonderful that they have always been so supportive.
Mm-hmm. And that's how this group is, too. We're very supportive of each other. And we laugh and different reads that go on. And sometimes there's tears. I see some tears around the table after someone reads. But, yeah, it's a very good group. I really like the group.
So are you working on the next book?
Yes. This is...
Is it going to be a series? Or?
Yes, it's going to be a series. I already have book two out, Merry Xmas. That's book two in the Deer Creek series. Deer Creek is a setting like Newport Richey, Florida. It's supposed to be kind of like that. And now I got the third book that I'm working on in the group. We're all critiquing it now, called Moving On, Cassie Waterman's Journal.
Well, I like... one of the things I like for... You are able, really, to... relate to people so nicely. I like the grandparents. The minute I read that part, I said, "Oh, that's cute. That's so cute." Because I like when I like the grandfather. Whoa, this is nice. I really enjoy. I just could visualize what he was doing, sitting there watching the deer, and I thought, this is again. It's one of those things where an author just notes something that most people would just sort of not even notice. But because you notice that little bit and you put that in your story, it is something memorable. And people will read this and they'll read all the romance and they'll read the relationship. But one of the things they'll remember is the grandfather. Isn't that cute? Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Something as simple as that can make a book memorable. And I was just touched by the grandparent. I like the way the grandmother talks. And, you know, that's the way so many grandmothers talk. And it just makes the book very relatable.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, the grandparents are sort of a combination of both sides of my grandparents. I kind of combined their personalities and came up with her grandparents.
Well, I thought they're great. I really love them. You. Well, you know, now I'm going to talk. We have a few minutes. Maybe I'll talk for a few minutes, give the microphone back to Catherine, and then I'm going to come back and talk to Andrea. But Catherine, I can see just from how happy, we're having a little movement here of our things. Tina is so happy and thrilled with what she's accomplished. And do you find that so rewarding when you are, as a leader of the group, that you see this enthusiasm?
Yes, actually, I'm not the actual leader. I'm the secretary treasurer. I'm standing in for our leader, Larry Serfazzo, who is out of town today and unfortunately not able to be with us. He's been leading the group for about 15 years, I think. So he is very encouraging and has set the tone for our group. We are extremely enthusiastic about encouraging writers to become their very best. And we encourage everything that they do. We have such a unique variety. We have people who are essayists, we have poets, we have people who write short stories, people who write full-length novels. I mean, we just have the whole gamut of everyone. And it's just so rewarding to see them accomplish finishing their work and getting us published. I write a newsletter for our group every week, and one of the things I love to do the most is be able to send out in the newsletter a notice that so-and-so has just published their new book, and it's available at Amazon.com or wherever it is. And we just cheer one another all the time. So it's a very uplifting experience being part of our group. And the Newport Richey Library is partnering with us. We are a pilot program for them that they have started recently in partnering together with us to facilitate us as a group to offer to the community things that the community wants. And there are a lot of writers in Florida reason.
Well,
but and a lot of them have come by. And as you said, we have about 43 members now. Not everyone comes every time, but
and your group meets on Monday. What time?
Monday from 4:30 in the afternoon until 7:30, about 7:30, every Monday, and we just have a wonderful time. So I encourage anyone in the area that wants to come out and join us to come by, because all you have to do is show up once and you're a member of our group.
Okay. Well, I think what the work that you're doing is fantastic. And the event is going to be, again, let's repeat it so that people remember.
Okay, that's Saturday, November the 3rd. From 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a lot of each writer is going to have some time to get up and read a portion of their book or talk about their process or answer questions. So it's going to be a very hands-on event.
And everybody, you can get selfies and autographs.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing. You never know. You know, I'll tell you one thing. It is so exciting when you get autographs of authors, because you never know when one day they are going to be the lead child of the world.
That's
and you've
right.
got one of the first autographs. It is a fantastic feeling. I've got some really, really fine autographs from years ago, and I'm very happy that I have them. Now, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to start with Andrea, because I love her book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660, or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
WTAN Radio is proud to announce that local author and speaker Glenn Erickson will soon be a guest on Pat Z's Joy on Paper program. He will tell you how he got his start and how you too can become an accomplished writer, author, and speaker. Glenn Erickson has published self-help books as well as speculative fiction stories and novels. All of his books are available on Smashwords.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
and I am back with my guests here in the studio, and I have the, part of a wonderful group of writers from the Newport Richie Library Writers Group, and I have in the studio with me Catherine Long, Andrea Hyodas, Randy Shenz, Tina Forcier, and unfortunately Doug Grossett did not show up yet because I think he's got the time wrong, but that's okay, because I'm telling Doug right now that he is invited back. I will have him. We'll find a date for him, because he wrote a book that's set in Marquette, which is, of course, in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And I am a Youper, and I was looking forward to talking to him about Marquette. But we will have him here on another day. And meanwhile, I want to turn to Andrea Hyodas, and I want to say how wonderful I think your book is.
Thank you, Patsy, and thank you for having me.
Well, I think that when I got this book and I looked at it, and it is, I have to explain to people, because it's an unusual book. It's a, what you might consider a simple book. It's a book hand-drawn pictures and a little story. And this particular one is called A Country Story.
That's right.
And it is so delightful.
It's about my niece's family. All my books have been very family-oriented. She has 6 children, and I send her books. She told me that I've sent her 15 books so far, and her kids are ranging from the ages of 4 to 12. So she tells me little things about them, and then I make up stories around it. And often I use the rule of threes in my books, which means that you have a character, and then you have a problem for that character, and then you have 3 tries to solve the problem, and you wrap it up with a happy ending. Most of my books are like that. And also, sometimes I just do a little fantasy about an animal with human traits, and I try to make a moral for each story.
And you draw these pictures?
I draw the pictures,
You draw
yes.
the pictures and write the words. And it is absolutely so cute. And I know that I'm going to be taking this book around with me when I go to writers' meetings, because it's one of the things that I always, when I go to a writers' meeting, I take books that I want to show as examples of what people should do. And this is a perfect example. Many people will say, oh, I don't think I can write. I don't have anything to say. But that's not true. We are all creative, and you have to just let it go. Just find that thing that you want to say. And it's so beautiful. Andrea has written a little story with delightful, delightful little hand-drawn drawings that, you know, they're not perfect, but they are perfect in the sense that for the story they are perfect, and they have made, you know, people go through years of school, you know, to learn illustration. And when they come out, everybody's illustration looks the same. So when you have something that's distinctive, that's something that is unique, that is where you see real talent. And so when I looked at these drawings, I said, wow, this is the kind of thing that will appeal to children. And it's just, they're delightful pictures. And I know... It's in the shape of a coloring book, because
it is, yes.
They're just black and white, and I know I'm already itching to color.
Yes, so the kids can learn to read and color at the same time. That's how I taught my sister how to read. We colored the words, and we separated syllables and colored the words and the pictures around them.
So you started this for your sister's children?
Yes. My brother's children. Yes.
For your brother's children, and then. Now, are you doing it for other people?
Yes, other people have asked me to do it, and I've actually sold 3 of them to people who are not related to me, because I basically fall in love with their children, and I come up with a story for that child. Maybe, like, say, little Kaylee, she's the daughter of one of the men in our group, and she said, well, I like cherry ice cream, and I like blueberry cotton candy, so I made up a story about the 4th of July with those 2 elements, and I threw in some white whipped cream, so we had red, white, and blue in the story that turned the pool red, white, and blue, and she dove in it, and she changed the colors of the pool, and they got in the newspaper because they had the best decorations for the 4th of July. Anyway, something like that. And my books are on sale.
Yeah, where are they on sale?
They're at the Paperback Exchange Bookstore at 6412 Ridge Road in Port Richey. I have my greeting cards there also, and I have some framed illustrations that are much more detailed of Florida scenes.
Well, and how do people contact you if they want you to write a story for them?
They can go to my email address, or they can just use my phone number, actually, because I'm an artist, too.
Okay, well, I will put that up on my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Because I think it's a wonderful idea, and we have Christmas and Hanukkah coming up, and I think if you want something truly unique, contact Andrea and tell her your story and the name of your child that you want a story about, and she will come out. She's got a great imagination here.
Thank you.
And it's just, it is something like this that is a gift that lasts forever, because you can't, you know, you give plastic things and electronic things and they all disappear. But a book like this, anybody who gets a book that's personalized will treasure it. And
thank you.
You know, I don't know if you're working toward getting into publishing a book.
Yeah, that's difficult for me because I have the words on the page with the pictures. So I need to learn how to send that with the computer. My husband's helping me with that. He's like a computer genius.
Okay, well, I'm suggesting to you that you need to contact, I will give you several contacts to agents who deal with children's books.
Oh my gosh, that would be wonderful.
Because you really are talented.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I think that, for example, the best agent for children's book is Andrea Brown.
She's got my name.
And she's a wonderful, wonderful agent.
Thank you.
And I always recommend for people who have this kind of talent to reach children. It's so important. We want children to read. And if you can do a book that a child will want to read, and I know I just enjoyed it. There's three bears in here that are different from other three bears. So it's just a fun book, and I hope that you'll be able to get.
Thank you. I'd love to get in touch with Andrea Brown.
Yeah, and another whole level of work that I think is in store for you in the future.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now I want to talk. I want to go back for a minute. I want to go back to Tina for a minute, and then I'm going to come back. We're going to talk to, I don't know, Randy just tickles me. I think he's so fun. But I want to talk a little bit to Tina. Now, when you decided to write, now, have you tried to find an agent?
I did try a little bit. I queried, you know, a handful of agents, and then I decided, when I heard about self-publishing through Amazon, and I decided for my first book
to go ahead
with it, and now I've decided for my next two books to still do that too. I like the way Amazon put together my first book. I thought it was a very good job, and I decided for now, but I may in the future.
Yeah, they did a great job. It turned out beautifully with a lovely cover, and this is one of the things that you have to decide as an author. But I was wanted to compliment you that whoever laid it out,
that's me.
You?
Yep.
You did a really professional job.
Oh, thank you.
Because it doesn't always work out that a book looks as professional as yours does, and it really, really looks good. And I think that it's an example of, as I said, it's an example of a story that I think will touch so many people's hearts, because so many girls out there get that particular girl. I don't know if guys get the same. Well, probably they guys do. You know, you want to go back to this reunion, and you want something to happen good in the interim, right?
Yes, you want something to talk about at your reunion, and sometimes maybe your life just isn't where you thought it was going to be. So,
but yes. You can find the joy in little things.
Yes, joy in little things, and that's what she has to learn throughout this book.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
Nope.
It just has to be those little things, perhaps little things that she's done right in mm-hmm. her life, mm-hmm. or people that she's helped, or just as I'm reading the book, I'm saying to myself, wow, this is a good lesson for people to read this book and to look back and say, yeah, you know, life doesn't have to be a big, dramatic accomplishment, but to accomplish some things.
Yes, it's a lot of little things that happen to her, and she accomplishes these little things throughout. She joins a karate studio, for one thing.
I love that. Oh, that I thought that was so great. As a kickboxer, and I didn't do karate, but I did kickboxing.
Okay.
And so I thought that was fantastic, too.
Yes, thank you. I took karate for years, so I had that experience of what a karate studio was like, but I tried to put her in karate studio because she has no idea about karate.
She has no idea.
She seems to have her eye on the karate instructor.
Ah, well,
but yeah. So yes. So it's pretty fun to write it all and everything.
Well, I wish you know people could just see how Upton is smiling so much because you can see that joy. That's what you know. I do a lot of interviews. I get. You know, a lot of famous people. Sometimes I'm lucky that, you know, if I get them live, and sometimes a lot on the phone. So I can't see always that enthusiasm, but I was so happy at VoucherCon when we had that, the mystery writer convention here in St. Petersburg a few weeks ago, that I got to see that joy that comes on the face of an author when they're talking about their book. Even, you know, they can be the most famous people. But when they're not blasé about it, they get a kick out of their writing. It's so funny. They're talking about their writing like with a freshness, like they might have written it, you know, 40 years ago, but they're talking about it today, and they know the characters, and they just still are in love with their writing, and that's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, definitely when I see authors talk about their writing in the writers' groups, they are just, you know, anywhere, and then me, you feel like when you're talking about the story, you come alive. It's just a joy feeling. It's a very good feeling. Very good.
It is. Well, that's why I named this program Joy on Paper, because it is a joy to have it on paper, and of course, it is also a joy to hear your words spoken on an audible book. So that might be the next. This book would actually be one of a book that'd be really great on Audible.
Oh, I was actually thinking about putting that book to audio too. So yeah, that's actually on my mind.
Well, I think so. It's a kind of book that because you're very good at dialogue, very good at dialogue, and in the hands of the right narrator. As a matter of fact, I mentioned the grandparents' dialogue. I would just love to see what a narrator would do with that dialogue.
Yeah, me too.
Because you captured an essence of them, and I thought, oh, I'd love to hear that narrated.
Yeah, that would be funny to hear the grandparents, especially the grandfather speak.
And oh, yeah.
Just his mannerisms, the way he kind of acts with the granddaughter, the main character, Molly, and stuff, and just...
Well, I think this is... really an essential Audible book.
Oh, thank you. So maybe in the future.
In the future, and of course you can do that through Amazon too. They have the whole system now, and you pick the voice, and it's lots of fun. It's lots of fun to hear. You know, some authors, they say, well, I'm not sure I can listen. But secretly they all listen. Don't ever believe them. they listen because it's their words.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure it'll be fun, and this book will be great. So I'm looking forward to when you have the Audible release, you have to come back and talk about it, okay?
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Won't that be great?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Now, I'm going to turn back to Randy. No, Randy!
Hello again.
An Audible book. An Audible book of The Care and Feeding of Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting. As a matter of fact, with your voice, you could actually do it yourself.
When I'm reading in group, I usually talk in different voices for the different characters and stuff.
I thought so.
But the idea of actually recording it never actually occurred to me until you just brought it up right now. So,
well,
thanks.
I think most authors don't have great voices for recording.
Well, neither do I. This one's fake.
Actually, sounds like this.
Okay, you see, I'm telling you, I knew the minute I read this book, this guy is fun. He's fun. He must be fun in the group. I think people should just come to the group just to see him read his stories. But so where did you come up with the title, The Care and Feeding of Nightmares?
Honest to God, it just popped into my head when I was driving down the street one day. Most of my stuff pops into my head when I'm on a long drive. Uh-huh. Ideas are really easy, but like forcing them into a coherent story, that's the tough part. Ideas are a dime a dozen. Anybody can come up with a good idea for a science fiction story, but actually making it into something that people want to read is the trick. And a lot of stuff just pops into my head while I'm driving, and I'll swerve over the road and scribble it down while I'm doing it. And then I'll come home, and if it's a really good idea, if it's one that like catches me on fire, I'll just sit down and start, you know, plugging away at it for 6 or 8 hours until my wife hits me and says it's time for dinner, and then you know, I just keep working on it until then.
Well,
sometimes it works, a lot of times it doesn't.
Well, I think we'll have to send you on a cross country. a cross-country trip, and you'll come out with a whole novel, huh? How about that?
That would be nice, yeah.
That's a good idea, because, I don't know, how many stories are in this book? I didn't count them.
6 or 8, I think.
6 or 8.
Yeah.
The Tahiti is still beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
that's an interesting story.
That was a fun one, because I wanted to do a story that was entirely told in dialogue, people referring to something that happened a long time before. And actually, that one came to me in a dream. I had a dream about the death scene at the end, and I woke up in sweat. I'm like, man, that was terrible. And at the same time, that was really compelling. And so, you know, next morning I started writing it. So that one didn't come to me in a car. But I wanted to see if I could do one without any description or anything. It was just all dialogue. So that was kind of an experiment.
Well, it works. It works very well.
Thank you.
I think that, again, something like this, there is a market for. if you ever go to Audible and look at some of their actual bestsellers, they are a little bit strange, like this one, and that's why I think this would also be a very, very good book to do in Audible.
Well, I never thought of that before, but I will definitely give it a shot now that you bring it up. That does actually seem like a really good idea.
Yeah, I always come out with good ideas for authors because I love to help you promote your books.
Thank you.
I think it's so important. As I said, it's fun for me to talk to the famous authors, but you know, to help them if I can, but to be able to help new authors and to encourage new authors, because we need to be able to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to find more readers, and the way to find more readers is when a reader finds a book, they say, well, like in your case, they read your book and they say, oh boy, he's crazy. I just have to keep going with this guy just to find out how crazy he is, because his mind is really interesting.
I got hit with a baseball when I was a kid. So.
Okay. So that's it.
That's not true. It's just something I said.
Oh, Dad, he'll say anything. I think it's just wonderful, again, that you know, you found this same joy that I talk about. What else are you working on?
Right at the moment, I'm working on a novel called The Fall of St. Grissom, and then I've got two short stories that I'm working on. One's called Faster Than the Speed of Death, and the other one is Bob and the Sea Monster.
So the novel is coming along?
Yeah, I'm about halfway, two-thirds through it, and then I just kind of ran out of steam for a while. So I've been reading it in the group, and they've actually been very helpful and very supportive, and they've made a bunch of suggestions, which, you know, on the one hand, are absolutely fantastic because it's getting better every time I get feedback from them. On the other hand, it means that I have to rip up the floor of the story and fix all the plumbing and move everything around and stuff like that. So that's, you know, that's a pain. So it's going slowly, but it is going. That'll be my first real novel. I've co-written a couple, but I don't really count those because, you know, it wasn't me.
It was somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's, again, it's one of the things that I like I like to find with writers is when they expand their range. And so many times I've met writers and I've said, one of the ways to start writing is to write short stories. So
you know. And people don't want to do that anymore. I mean, like, I used to edit fiction for a website years ago, and people would continually talk about, yeah, I've got this 7-volume cycle about this planet with elves on it and aliens, and they get into a fight. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You should really start with something short just to kind of hone your style, and that teaches you to be concise and compact and see what you can cram
in there. Disciplined. You have to
And then expand that into something else once you get a voice and all that kind of thing. Plus, I have a very short attention span, so, you know, short stories are about all I can bang out in.
Although there is a trend, particularly, and this is true in Audible books, that people, because they are listening to them as they're traveling, mm-hmm. as they're taking, you know, the subway or the train, or they do want a shorter story that they finish during that ride. Mm-hmm. Because I was talking to somebody out back east, and they say that they're a commute. They do a commute mm-hmm. every day. And every day they listen now before they because many people can't read in a moving train or a moving bus.
Right.
But Audible books are really good for people like that because they want to learn. I love Audible books. I've particularly drawn to them lately with historical books, big historical books, because I can stop and start, you know, as depending on what I'm doing. But to have the shorter stories, I think is a real plus.
Well, I grew up on them too. I mean, when I was a kid, I was just continually reading these little compilations of short stories and anthologies, and
like Zane Grey and all those.
Not so much that. I've always been a science fiction guy, mostly, for some strange reason. I don't really know why, because nobody else in my family really liked it, and I wasn't really exposed to it growing up. Just I somehow got all these trashy pulp magazines as a kid, secondhand, and I just have always loved that kind of thing, you know. For some reason, again, it's probably the short attention span. I like things that are fairly compact and are really effective idea delivery systems, as opposed to something that takes 1,000 pages to get across 3 ideas. I just feel like, yeah, I'm getting the most the most bang for my sentence in a short story.
Well, I think that you've done a terrific job with this book, and it's called The Care and Feeding of Nightmares. Do you have a website, Pete?
How do you
want people to find
it?
It's
not very good, but it's http://// mahatmarandi.net. That's M-A-H, well, Mahatma Randy, one word.
Mahatma net. Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Mahatma. Okay.
It's all a nickname. Right. It's an unfortunate nickname a friend of mine gave me about 30 years ago that I can't shake, so.
So you use it for your website.
Yeah.
Okay.
I decided to embrace it.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask... back to Catherine for a minute. Catherine, you have, how many books out of yours are available? Where
right
are they
now
available?
I have an essay that's in an anthology called This I Know, which is available on Amazon.com, and another one with 3 of my poems. The anthology is called Home. That will be coming out this coming November, next month, the end of next month. Also on Amazon. My children's book, Kitty Capers, is in the process of being sent to publishing, so that isn't ready yet, but I'm hoping I'm going to have it in time for this event on November 3rd.
Okay.
So we'll see. I did want to... are you wrapping up?
Yeah, well, in a little while. Go ahead.
Okay, because I have this poem that I wrote called Grandma Rap, and it kind of represents our group.
Okay, do
and
it.
And I
Go
sort of
it.
Want to do it for you so that everyone can know what our group is about.
Okay.
So you have to forgive me. I'm 70 years old, and rapping is not my style, but this is me. We gathered together, taking our sweet time, working out a novel or busting a rhyme. It don't matter whether it's over the top, a strong bestseller, or a down market flop. The sharp point of it all is the call to write about what haunts our dreams and keeps us up at night. We ain't looking to win no fortune or fame, don't even care if they remember our name. Just one thing is able to give us that start, a love affair with words growing in our heart. You'll never stop it, can't make us drop it, just try to top it. Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's fantastic. Well, Oh, sorry. That's right. The Newport Richey Library Writers Club Wrap. Okay, that's fantastic. And I'm so happy that to see the enthusiasm on all of your faces and the joy that you have. And I want you to make sure that you tell Doug Grossa that I expect him to come here one day soon. I will give him a date because I want to talk about Marquette.
And he will be delighted, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Can I just mention also, too, very quickly, yeah, that Andrea's books and cards, her handwritten books and cards, the children's books and the cards, will be available at our meet and greet event for sale for people that want to come. And she will also be able to take down any information for anyone that wants to have something personally designed for their own children or grandchildren. And of course, Tina will be there, Randy will be there, Doug will be there, we'll all be there with our things for sale. Some people will have some things for giving away. We've got a Christian writer there that's got a good little Bible study that she's going to be giving for a donation toward the food bank. So it's a great event, and I hope everyone comes out to join us.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you all for coming to the studio today. It's been lots of fun, and I will make sure that I keep talking about it over the next few weeks until the event. I will talk about it on every program to remind people about the event. And again, it's this joy of writing that is so important to all of us.
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just want to add also, if this is the time of the year that you have to make sure that you go to Writer's Digest and check out what competitions they have for all of you independent writers. There are some competitions coming up. Also, the San Francisco Writers competition is coming up, so you should be looking into that too. And remember what I tell you, if you're looking for an agent, you have to go to Publishers Weekly. Do not buy one of those ABC agent books. They don't work. You really won't find an agent that way. You have to go to Publishers Weekly and find out which agents are active at the moment. And those are the agents that you want to represent you. So go to Publishers Weekly and go to their, they have a spot there with the weekly deals, and you will be able to find out an agent's name. And that's the best way to find an agent. And meanwhile, remember what I tell everyone, one of the joys of life, right, everybody, is to see your words on paper, or as all of these guys are going to get their books in audible version, and just have fun with it. That's all I can say. Just have fun with writing. And make sure that you say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He's overwhelmed with all of us here today, so many people. And thank you, Ed. Thank you for everything that you do for me. And we really appreciate you. Bye-bye now.